Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel. Turn your mining hat light on and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Today we're going to look at In Disguise. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your scriptures. We thank you that as we look into them, we see a depth of things that reveal that you to us. We thank you, Father God, that as we are open to the scriptures, you show us yourself that we may be more like you. God, we thank you for this time together. Let it be rich and meaningful to us all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I know that's a little bit unusual, in disguise. It's funny, quite some time ago, Apostle had kind of, I won't say on a dare because I'm not quite like that, but had been talking with somebody about healing and said, you know, you can't find a healing of animals in the Bible. And I said, well, I don't know about that, but I do know that I can show you where God used animals in ministry, three specific instances we used where animals were used to carry out the will of God in ministry. In a couple of instances, even when the people weren't doing what they were supposed to do. Anyway, for some reason, it's been on my mind about this disguise. I know this passage is in here. I'd asked a buddy of mine who's pastoring for some 35, 40 years, do you remember where this happened? And he had no idea that it had happened. And I thought, well, then maybe it's something for us to look at. Not necessarily in relationship to Halloween or anything like that. But I know that a lot of people just really enjoy dressing up. And it seems to me it's one thing when it's children. But apparently it's becoming this big deal for adults too. So I thought, well, let's just look at this one instance, and as far as I know, I'll give you two other examples later where we might construe that. But basically, this is, as far as I can tell, the only example in the Bible where someone dressed up in a disguise. There were times that people, we'll go into that later, when people used a little bit of deception to pretend to be somebody else, but not necessarily quite like this. So we're going to open our Bibles to the book of Kings, 1 Kings, 1 Kings chapter 14. Now, this is a little-known prophet named Ahijah. You may not have heard of Ahijah, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't take our time to learn a little bit about him. As you know, upon David's throne, there was to be someone, and we know that then the kingdoms fell into sin and the kingdom was removed from David's house. And also then the same thing happened with Israel, so and so, and it fell into a series of sins. But Ahijah had anointed a man named Jeroboam to be king. And at the time, we thought, well, maybe he will, as we always did, have hopes that he would return to be the same kind of king that David had been. And that didn't happen. But anyway, we read on in 1 Kings chapter 14, where Jeroboam, who is king, he had a son. And his son's name was Abijah. Now, that's with a B. Abijah, remember the prophet's name is Ahijah with an H, Ahijah. But anyway, his son Abijah fell sick. That's where we open the chapter, in chapter 14, verse 1. And at that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, this is the king's wife, "Arise, I pray thee, and disguise thyself, that thou be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam, and get thee to Shiloh. Behold, there is Ahijah, the prophet, which told me that I should be king over the people." So it wasn't unusual to go to the prophet when there was a crisis. And this is, of course, the king's son has fallen sick, so the king's wife was to go see the prophet. But the king told her to do this very strange thing. Dress herself up, disguise herself, though, that she might not be known to be the king's wife. Just be some woman who's coming about her son. And so he told her to take with her 10 loaves and cracknels, and a cruse of honey, and go to him. Because, of course, you know the custom was that when you would go to a man of God and ask of him anything, you took a gift. You took just a something to honor him. And so she was to take these loaves and the honey, go to him and tell him and he will tell you what will become of the child. So she's going to pretend not to be the king's wife. She's just going to go take this gift to the prophet and ask him, "I have a son who is sick. Pray tell me what will happen to my son." So it sounds pretty good, but now we'll get into that a little bit later. So far, it sounds like a good deal, isn't it? But then verse 4, "And Jeroboam's wife did so. And she arose and went to Shiloh and came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were set by reason of his age." He was an old man, and he was very dim of sight. I won't say blind, but he really couldn't see. So he's an old man sitting in his house who's blind, and this woman comes to his door with a gift in hand to ask about her son. And this is, I love verse 5. It's so funny. The Bible is just so full of fun. "And the Lord said to Ahijah," that is to the prophet, "Behold, the wife of Jeroboam comes to ask of thee for her son, for he is sick. This and thus shalt thou say unto her, for it shall be when she comes in that she shall feign or pretend herself to be another woman." So here he is, an old blind man sitting in his house, and the Lord came and told him, "Look, there's this woman who's coming, but this is not, she's going to pretend to be somebody else, but really she's the king's wife, and she's coming to ask about her son. And this is what you're going to tell her when she comes in." So he already was in the know. And there's more than one example of that in the Bible, where Somebody is coming for whatever reason, and God already visits the prophet and tells them what they're coming for and why. But anyway, so here they are. That's what he tells them, you know, that you will, it shall be when he comes in that this and this is what you'll say. Okay. So it was when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she came at the door, he said, "Come in, wife of Jeroboam. Why are you pretending to not be yourself and to be another?" So she was caught, wasn't she? "For I am sent to thee with heavy tidings. Go tell Jeroboam," this is what the prophet is saying that God said for him to tell him, "go tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord God of Israel." Whew, you know when that starts, we're in for it. "For as much as I exalted him from among the people and made him a prince over my people Israel and rent or tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to thee, and yet you have not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart to do that only which was right in my eyes." See, when God forgives, he forgets, doesn't he? He isn't saying, if you ask the God, he said David only did what was right in his sight. And that's the power of repentance and forgiveness. We remember, all of us want to remind David of all of his other sins. But God, once he has forgiven it, he doesn't bring it up, does he? He says, you know, "David always followed me and always did my commandments. But you've done evil." And he goes on to tell him, now this is the same man who anointed him to be king, all right? And he goes on to say, and it gets really, this prophecy gets very, very ugly, that everyone in his house will die, that this small boy, this son of his that she's asking about, he will die. When she goes home, when her foot touches the threshold, he will die. And the good thing, though, is that that boy at least will be buried in a grave. All the rest of them will be slain in such a way that they don't have a decent burial. They just die out on the street and dogs eat them and blah, 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 blah. So he's coming to a real end. So now we understand why the king told her, pretend not to be my wife. Because he knew not only the prophet wasn't happy with him, God wasn't happy with him. And so it gets kind of ugly, and we won't go into that because that's not really where we're going today with this. And you can say, oh, that gets a little gruesome. But anyway, the prophet knew even though he couldn't see, even though he was an old man, all he heard was her footsteps on the door. And when he heard her footsteps at the door, he said, ah, this is Jeroboam's wife. And she's coming to ask about her son. And this is what you will tell him. Okay. That said, my friend asked me the other day when I was saying, where is that place? Because I couldn't remember and I found it where she disguised herself and the king's wife and da-da-da. And he pastored 35 years and he didn't know where that was. But I knew it was in there. And all these little things, they have something to teach us. And it was really great because he turned to me and said, Lorraine, why do you want that? What's in that? And I said, well, here's the thing that I wanted to share about it. So today's teaching may be very, very short. But the woman came to the prophet and she pretended to be somebody else because she wanted to ask about her son. Her husband wanted to send her. And I thought, well, first off, the first thing that's wrong with that is we don't send somebody else on our behalf to God. We don't send, you know, the king wanted to send his wife to ask the prophet. Well, the king could have come himself. Or if the prophet, or if the wife wanted to ask, then she should ask for herself. Too much of the time when we feel that there's a separation between us and God. We send somebody else on our behalf. That is, with God, we always, it should be one-on-one. There's nothing you can't ask God. There's nothing you can't ask of God. We're not to send emissaries. We're not to send a group to go before us. We are to go ourselves. We are sons. We are daughters. We don't need to have somebody else carry that petition for us. So number one, the king sent his wife instead of going himself. Well, why didn't he go himself? That's question number one. Question number two, why did she disguise herself? Why couldn't she let the prophet know who she was? She was the king's wife. She was asking about this young prince, her son. And this is the same prophet that had anointed him as king, who it says lifted him up among the others. So there's another principle there. We forget to be grateful. We cannot just come to God with a petition or even send somebody else. But let's ignore for the moment the sending somebody else. When we actually come to God, we should be mindful of the things that he has done for us, that God has intervened on our behalf. God has lifted us up. God has forgiven us. God has taken care of us. God has provided for us. All the things God does for us. The king was forgetting to thank God, first off, not go himself, and then number two, forgetting to thank God for all of the promotion that he had received from God. And then she comes in this disguise to ask a petition of him. Well, we a lot of times, and this sounded so bizarre, and yet how close to home this is for us. How many times when we come to God for something, we kind of disguise ourselves. We pretend to be somebody we're not. We kind of want to cover up who we are because God was not interested first and foremost about the child. God was first and foremost interested in the sins of Jeroboam, that Jeroboam had been given an opportunity. Jeroboam had been given a promotion. Jeroboam had been given the obligation to walk before God's people as a godly man, to be a king after the heart of David, who is after the heart of God. And so we do the same thing. We want to go to God and talk to God about what we want instead of first and foremost asking, letting God talk to us about what he wants to talk to us about. The man of God, the king, was not going to the prophet because he was concerned about his spiritual state or his standing with God or what God was thinking of him or what he needed to do to have God's favor and approval. He was going to God because there was something he wanted from God. How much of the time? That's us. We go to God when there's something we want. We forget to go to God first and foremost to thank him for what he has done, number one. And then number two, to ask him, God, what more can I do? What interests you? What do you want to talk to me about? We want to hustle in and ask God what we want. So that's number three. So at that point, then what do? We disguise ourselves. We are not open and honest before God. We present ourselves in this great light. You know, we want to pretend to be somebody we're not. We want to pretend to be devout. We want to pretend to be sincere. We want to pretend to be loving or giving. And we'll kind of even talk ourselves into it. Yeah, after all, I did do that, didn't I? The other day, I did do something for somebody. And so then we want to kind of put on this disguise that we're loving and giving and kind people because there's something we want. But God knew who she was, and God told the man of God even before she got there, didn't he? He told on her. He revealed who she was. And so I know it seems a little bit strange, but that was the only place that I know where somebody put on a disguise, pretended to be somebody else to come before God. Now, I did tell you that I'd give you a couple of other examples. One, you might say, well, remember when David pretended to be a crazy man so that he wouldn't get caught? Well, he didn't put on a disguise of it. He got caught in this thing, and then he had to pretend to be something. He still pretended. He didn't pretend to be somebody he wasn't, but he just put on behaviors that would make them afraid of him. And then this other one that I think actually is a pretty beautiful one. Jesus, it says in the book of John, the first chapter, you know, each first chapter of, or not first chapter, but the first part of each gospel does tell of their lineage. The most notable are Matthew and Luke. As we're getting closer to Christmas time, we'll read them all again. We don't look at Mark so much because Mark shows him as a servant, and so it just starts with him as a full-grown man. But Luke shows him as the Son of Man, coming from Adam. He's the Son of Man. Well, Matthew shows him as a descendant of Abraham, ascendant of David. It shows it from that forward, and then Luke takes it and goes all the way back to Adam, that he is related to all of us. But John shows him as the Son of God. So John actually, it does have a lineage in there, but it's the divine, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. So that shows Jesus. And later it says, and he put on flesh and tabernacled, or dwelt among men. Jesus was Jesus without flesh. He was still the Son of God, but he put on flesh, if I can say it like this, as a disguise, so that we would see him as one of us. He became one of us. It wasn't a pretense. And so that, again, we can look at the contrast. This woman disguised herself to hide who she was so that she wouldn't have to pay the penalties of her sin. Jesus did the reverse. He put on his guise, not a disguise. He put on a guise of humanity that he could relate to us and we could relate to him. He did that to take away our sins, where she was trying to hide hers. She came before the prophet in a disguise to get something from him without having to be open and honest before him. Jesus, again, it was the reverse. He was himself, and people tried to say he was this or he was that. Some say you're Elijah, some say you're Isaiah, some say you're this, some say you're that. And that's when Jesus asked him later, remember, he said, who do you say that I am? And that's when Peter came out with that great revelation, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He put on flesh that he may dwell among us and take away our sins. She put on a disguise to hide her sin so that she could get something from God without having to deal with the mess in her heart. And again, Jesus, the reverse. And in the one, she was exposed by the prophet. The prophet said, oh, here comes Jeroboam's wife. But in the Jesus, on the other hand, is again the reverse. he put this guise on. And when they beat him and asked him, and Pilate was saying, who are you? Are you? And he said, they tell me that you are the king. You are, et cetera, et cetera. It was a, and Jesus just looked him right in the eye steadily and said, thou Seth. He did not make that claim. He did not reveal who he was so that he could get from God. He covered it up so that we could get from him, because had he not been crucified, then our sins would still be plaguing us today. But this woman, like so many of us, we try to be somebody we're not. We try to hide who we are. We try to not deal with what we need to deal with. We want to go to God and get something. And so we'll disguise ourselves to be somebody we're not. And it just doesn't work. Because before we even get there, God knows who we are. And God knows that what she needed to do, what Jeroboam needed to do, was come to terms with where they had let God down and deal with it. But they did not, and they ended in destruction. Jesus, on the other hand, put on flesh and dwelt among us, that we can say that we have a high priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He put on flesh so that he could feel hunger, could feel tiredness, could feel exhaustion, could feel betrayal, could feel all the things that we go through, that he may bring us the deliverance that we didn't even know to ask for. So as we look at disguises, this woman, and as far as I know, like I said, well, one time David pretended to be somebody he's not, but by and large, this is the only thing I know where somebody actually disguised themselves. There were a couple of other times when the angels let somebody believe that they were travelers that they may not have been. There are a couple of examples where the spies went into the land and were hidden from the government or the powers that be, and the gal kept them. But to actually put on a disguise, I believe this may be the only place, and except for, of course, our beloved Jesus, who put on flesh and dwelt among man, that he might become the Lord of all and fill all in all. So we don't have to bring loaves of bread or cruses of honey to seek a petition, that we already know the answer from God before we ask, that he has for us what we need. So this week, as everybody may, whatever else, we should just stop and think, do I go to God? Do I kind of put on a posture of righteousness? Do I put on a disguise where I sound holy or I sound virtuous? Do I try to remind God how good I am? Or will I be like the man by the side of the road who just beat his chest and said, help me, O Lord, for I am a sinner. Do we go to God naked? There's so much in the scriptures about renting clothes at times of sadness and distress, of taking off outer garments. You know, we did a teaching before on clothes off, clothes on. There are times we take off garments. But part of that is to be exposed, to not have a pretense of who we are. You know, not try to hide behind those raiments. And so there was really genuinely a need for exposing yourself before God, to be naked before whom we have to do, as the scriptures say. And I'm not talking about physical nakedness, but I'm talking about spiritual and emotional and that nakedness of our soul. God, here I am without pretense. Here I am not trying to hide from you. Here I am. You tell me what I need to do. Don't let me come just thinking I will come to get from you. So anyway, here we are in the book of Kings. There was a little known prophet named Ahijah, which you may not have even heard of before today. But even he, in these handful of verses in this chapter, has a great lesson to teach us. We have been anointed by God. We have been elevated among the people. All the same opportunities that Jeroboam had, we have. And yet he let it fall, and he came to no good an end. God has a greater reward for us, a greater end for us. We don't have to pretend to be somebody we're not, to hide who we are, because Jesus came and put on flesh, dwelt among us, that we may have that opportunity to be before him as we are. May this week be a time of revealing to us who we are as we approach Thanksgiving, that we may be fully thankful for all that God has done in us and for us. And at the same time, may we also be grateful for God in the midst, who's celebrating an anniversary this month of November, and even this program, a two-year anniversary, of that we have the opportunity to pull back the covers of the scriptures and see ourselves. As we looking into the scriptures, it's like looking into a mirror, but we don't see just ourselves. We see the face of Jesus and know that's who we can be in Jesus' name. May this be the best week of your life. Looking forward to seeing you again next week. God bless.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Enjoy the entire family of Get 'Em Radio broadcasts by calling 619-639-4733. That's 619-639-4733. Now, mark your calendar and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with Elder Philip Harkey is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of God in the Midst airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 619-639-4733. When you have an opportunity, Google Get 'Em Radio. That's GITM Radio. And listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's on-demand archives. As you listen to our archives, click the follow button and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at getemradio@gmail.com or call us at 903-776-4486. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Midst, M-I-D-S-T, and like us, because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found